Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. On today's show, we're taking a look at the lock-in effect and its impact on the rental market. There's no doubt that the lock-in effect has reduced the amount of mobility in most forms of real estate. The higher interest rate environment has dramatically reduced the number of people who are willing to give up their low interest rate mortgage and move to another property where the cost of borrowing is going to be much higher. Some have chosen to move and put the house that they own into the rental market and in turn rent at their new location. In these cases, people are often moving for work, and the decision to move is entirely based on financial considerations. So we know that fewer people are selling right now. But what about the rental market? Is absorption and mobility, is it up or down in the past year? Well, all of the data that I've seen suggests that rental moves are down as well, at least in most markets. In some markets that are oversupplied with new rental product, landlords have been resorting to rental concessions in order to fill those otherwise vacant properties. Markets like Austin, Nashville, Salt Lake City are among several cities that are suffering from oversupply. While Austin leads the nation in terms of the greatest amount of absorption, they absorbed over 10,000 units of new product last year, they're still facing an oversupply situation. We've seen a deterioration of household disposable income over the past 24 to 36 months. The impact of inflation has resulted in a decline in household finances since, for the most part, incomes have not kept pace with consumer prices. Household savings are now at 3%, the lowest in decades. According to property management software company RealPage, the biggest influence on 2024 forecast for apartments is new supply. 2023 saw over 950,000 completions delivered to the market, the highest in 40 years. About 1 million units remain under construction, with delivery scheduled in this year and the next 2 years. Although this number has steadily dropped in the past few quarters, 2024 is still slated to be a banner year in terms of actual apartment deliveries. They're currently forecasting 600,000 market-rate multifamily units to complete this year. Even if supply delays become more commonplace, it's pretty certain that 2024 will see more apartments delivered than any part of the last four decades. As such, rents are expected to face considerable downward pressure despite otherwise fairly steady demand. And that's a perfect case study in Economics 101, supply and demand. We talk about it a lot on this show. When supply trends ahead of demand, price adjusts downward. That's just how it works. And as a result, the 2024 forecast shows modestly downgraded expectations for rent growth. Yet the biggest shift in the updated forecast is the 2025 and 2026 deliveries. National estimates suggest that supply delivering in 2025 will drop between 15 to 20% in most major markets, and that's primarily driven by a sharp adjustment in the number of new starts. For example, there were 51,000 fewer market rate apartment units started in the second quarter of 2023 than compared with the first quarter. That's a 41% decline in just 90 days. What's not as clear is what's going to happen on properties that have not yet started construction. That's when the future becomes somewhat murkier. For landlords of existing stabilized properties, the lower unit turnover can translate into higher profit margins. While rents are not necessarily increasing like they did in 2021 and 2022 and to a lesser extent in 2023, the lower turnover means lower turnover costs. Now, when I see budgets for apartment buildings, I often see the usual expected line items for things like taxes, insurance, property management, and so on. And then I see a line for repairs and maintenance. And this is where a lot of landlords are lumping in the cost of turning over a unit, getting it rent ready in that repair and maintenance category. It's usually calculated on the basis of dollars per unit, and it's based on the age of the building. Maintenance costs will increase over time, so they will usually do the responsible thing and have a maintenance reserve that will put aside money for the future, for that future when maintenance might be higher. The problem with this approach is that it somewhat neglects one of the major drivers for cost, and that's unit turnover. When a tenant moves out, there's a cost to paint, repair, refresh, and clean the vacant unit to get it rent ready. Unless all of that work can be done in a single day, then chances are the landlord's going to face a month of vacancy before the apartment is actually rent ready. And not only that, the landlord may have to pay a leasing commission to a leasing agent consisting usually of 1 month rent. So the unit turn is going to cost a few $1,000s getting it rent ready, plus 2 months of rent, one for vacancy and one for the leasing commission. In total, that could amount to the equivalent of 3 months of rent loss. Simply, for a unit turnover that doesn't really experience any vacancy, apart from the time required to get the unit rent ready. These are real costs that landlords incur in the normal course of doing business. And I'm not even talking about economic vacancy of tenants not paying rent or any of those other costs. But if mobility is down and people are not moving as much as before, you won't be incurring those turnover costs. You might not be experiencing huge rent growth in the current environment. In fact, rents might be flat or even slightly down. But if your turnover costs are much lower, there could be a real tangible benefit to the landlord, which would be maybe even better than modest rent growth. It might not be revenue growth, but increased profitability through expense avoidance. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.